E2, number 10A.
So, the assignment to work on is the following. You take one of these sheets, which has the 4x4 on it, and you have one, and use that for the following assignment. You take my book on the structure of the Christian Science textbook. The structure on the Christian Science textbook. In that book, I have given a layout of the 16 chapters, what each chapter means, and the structure of each chapter, and they are in a matrix form. You won't find the matrix in it, because at that time we didn't know how to make a matrix, but the idea of it is in it. And after every 4 chapters, I have about half a page, a summary on those 4 chapters. And these summaries are on the following pages, which you read, and I dictate it to you. About the word chapters, page 46, 47, and also back on in the book 188, 189. On the Christ chapters, page 83, 84, and then 189, 190. On Christianity, page 136, 137, and 190, 191. 190 and 91. Then science, 186 and 7, and 192 and 3. So what you can do is to read my text and just take as if my text would be right as a starting basis, so that we have an equal starting point together. And you put into every box of this matrix in as short as possible an epitome of what that chapter is about, so that you have 16 epitomes. You don't have to transfer every word I said into it, just what you feel is the main point, because I speak around it in various ways. That's how you do it when you write the book, and that you approach the same point from various angles, and so try to feel out what may be the main epitome for each chapter. And second, there is also an indication in those pages about the vertical index. What is the I index? What is the word? What is the Christ? And what is Christianity? And what is science? You will not find any indication about the J, about the word Christ, Christianity, and science on the left-hand side of a matrix. There is no indication about that in my structure book, because at that time we were not thinking that way, that we would have to define that. And so please now try once to take a text and work with it and fill in that matrix. And then tomorrow, because today we will have enough to do with finishing the text, so that tomorrow morning we can start actually then with investigating our findings, and then perhaps correct it and see why it has to be corrected and where it has to be corrected and so on. We pick up the subject where we left it in the historical development of the idea of matrix, when in the middle of the 40s, John Dolly began to have a new interest in the 7 days of creation. Up to that point, he saw the 7 days of creation as 7 days, bluntly, and then round about 1946, he began to see that those days of creation actually have subtones, that the first day of creation of mind had three subtones, indicating that the first day is not just saying, let there be light, as what we have in mind as mind, but that the first day was also saying that that light was good, and it was separate from the darkness, and the further mind as soul, that that light was called, and you have a sense of naming, defining, was called day. So that the first day of creation covers actually three subtones. Now, I'm not going to explain the 7 days of creation, because that would be putting water into, what you have, the Brandywine River. So much has been written on that subject by various people, especially by Mr. Dolly himself and his students. I just could refer actually to the fundamental presentation of the first record and second record of creation in the first volume of the talks on the Bible which Mr. Dolly has given. That first volume covers about 300 pages in which he presents the fundamentals of the story of creation, the first record of creation and second record of creation, and is still so fundamental that I always recommend it as a study book. So I just refer to that, and I'm not going to explain the meaning of those 7 days, but what I can do is to show how slowly the idea of matrix began to form from various angles, and this was a new angle. Namely, the moment he began to see that these days had subtones, he could naturally depict this in a kind of a matrix that has to be understood. So what you have in front of you is actually the days of creation matrix, so to say, so that the A in that formula would be the days of creation, indicating really the 7 days as the I, and the subtones as the J. Perhaps I stop here for a few minutes so that you can draw this chart. You see that on this matrix, not every box has a value, that only certain boxes have a value. And this is defined by the matrix itself, which is the days of creation. So in the upper left corner, you can write days of creation, and then you define through that upper left corner, I didn't have enough room there, here, you would put in the days of creation. Now, you know that the days of creation are something different than the numerals of infinity. You remember that one of the first things John Dolly saw, which we have taken at the beginning of this class, was that the seven reflect the seven. And we saw it there when I said, when he began to see, say, in the chapter on prayer, that the seven prayers, each one had seven subtones, and so gave a layout of the seven times seven. That's the way we called it way back in 1938. And only now, when investigating the days of creation, he began to realize that one must make a difference between what Mrs. Eddy calls days of creation, which we have right here in front of us as an illustration, and the numerals of infinity. The numerals of infinity means that they are not limited in any way. Therefore, the numerals of infinity always blend with all the seven. You always have the seven by seven. Therefore, a chapter like prayer, but also dominant Eucharist, may give us a seven by seven matrix. And so perhaps chapter on footsteps of truth and thing and others give us a seven by seven matrix. But the moment we consider the days of creation, you have a time sense in it. You have a creative sense in it in the way that something comes into being, whereas the numerals of infinity are at the point of isness. And so Mr. Dolly made quite a big distinction in his writings between those qualities which qualify the days of creation, which always have a time sense in it, and those ideas that characterize the numerals of infinity, which never have a time sense in it. For instance, if you take development, then you have a typical day of creation sense, because if something develops, you have a sense that it goes on step by step as we go on, whereas, for instance, progression has no time element in it, even perhaps order, which is actually the underlying fact of development, has no time sense in it, and so that would be a numeral of infinity. The days of creation, as they come to us, to our human understanding, as the breaking in of light, of let there be light, let there be something which dispels the darkness, is a days of creation sense. In being, there is no such a thing that the light comes and scatters the darkness. There is just light, and in thy light I see light. There is just isness, just mind, and the intelligence of mind, and not a breaking in of new ideas, of wisdom, of a new conception and perception. So all those terms which we use and have some kind of a time sense in it are days of creation qualities and not numerals of infinity. Now this is important to see because the days of creation sense always are qualities that give us indications of our relative human growth, how we step by step are arriving at a final conclusion. Now this is something that does not exist in isness and therefore in the realm of life itself. And so you can understand what Mrs. Eddy meant when she had presented the 7 days of creation and finished them. Then she made that difference and lifted the days of creation out of the time sense into the numeral of infinity sense, into the sense of isness, of life itself when she said that the numerals of infinity, the numerals of infinity, called 7 days. They are only called 7 days, can never be reckoned according to the calendar of time. The numerals of infinity take away any time sense, either in practice or in living or in demonstration or in whatever is at stake, takes away any time and space sense, and puts it right into the sense of being, of isness. So they can never be reckoned according to the calendar of time. These days will appear as mortality disappears. Here you have your days of creation, an appearing and a disappearing. It's a gradual sense. And they will reveal, finally, eternity, newness of life. They will reveal life, capital L, newness of life, capital L, and no more a developing sense of being. So actually, as long as we are thinking in the metaphysical realm, we will use the days of creation as a guideline for treatment and for finding out our solutions. Whereas the moment we are thinking in the realm of science, and no more in the realm of ordinary metaphysics, we will use the numerals of infinity. Can you see why, therefore, in John Dowley's matrix, he defined at the point of the candlestick order the signs as the word, soul, and life as what? As numerals of infinity. So showing that when we think from the point of view of science, which is always isness, because science does not know any development. 2 times 2 have never been created. They are facts of being. And so they constitute the numerals of infinity. He didn't call that days of creation, because they are at the point of eternity, of newness of life, in which all sense of error forever disappears. You see, at that point, all sense of error forever disappears when we touch numerals of infinity. That's why each numeral can be blended with each other one. That's why we have the 7 times 7, or the 7 by 7, I should really call it. And thought accepts the divine infinite calculus. So when John Dowley began to see that, he got a new insight into those 7 days of creation and could see that in order to build up in consciousness a developing sense, a creative sense of the nature of God, the days of creation would not take each day in the 7, but only, and this is the point, only in that minimal way that is necessary in order that thought is brought from one day to the next day. This is the pith of it, and so perhaps because it's just a short sentence, I talk around it again, you see, that he could see that when the first day says, let there be light, that actually one doesn't have to define that first day through 7 subtones before one has enough understanding to go on to the 2nd day of spirit. But that it only needs a minimal sense, a minimal number of subtones in order that one can touch already the next day. And this is what is shown here in this matrix on the days of creation, that actually the values necessary in the first day are only 3 subtones. Why? It just has first to make the light, the new vision that breaks in, must first make it definite. It does not need to go on to principle and see that that idea has power to demonstrate itself. Because in order to go to the second day of creation, which says, what does the second day of creation says? Let there be a firmament to divide the waters above from the waters beneath. Mrs. Eddy explains that this second day is the day of spirit, where we separate between the positive and negative, between the opposites. And therefore, in order to separate between in the opposites, in our understanding, we only need first to have a definite sense of the light that has broken in, what is true. And we don't need to have a further operative sense than that. Therefore, when a new idea breaks in into our thought, and we say, I got a new idea, or I saw something new, then that is the first day, which said, let there be light, and you feel a new idea has broken in into consciousness, and all what you have to see that this idea must be spiritual and not material or human. That's what you must see. Or you can't value it as an idea. Only when an idea is spiritual, it is actually an idea and not just a human concept. And you also must see that it has the subtone of soul, that new idea is actually a named and definite idea so that you can name it and define it. At that moment, you can see, at that moment, you are already able to say, all right, from this point on, I can distinguish between an idea and illusion. From that point on. So that makes us ready at once to go to the second day. You see? You don't even have first to try out if it demonstrates itself and that you see it, that it lifts us above the mortal, things like that. It is enough to see that the idea that has broken in, that let there be light, is so definite that you can define it within your consciousness. And then when it is defined, we can separate it from that which does not measure up to that definition. And that's the second day already. The moment you can separate, you have spirit. You see what he tried to show, what the Bible tries to show, because the Bible already teaches it that way. And then when the subject is, how can I advance in the understanding from the point where I have the first inception of a new idea, how can I advance until I see in the seventh day, at the end, the fullness, the perfection of being, then you ask something that has to do with the day of creation matrix. So Mr. Dawley would show that the days of creation, in the first day of creation, has three subtones. And that is quite enough, that's the minimal understanding we need in order to make the transition from the first day to the second day and begin to realize what the second day implies. And so the second day also has to be considered, and we have to ask what is the minimal sense in order to have a clear-cut separation. And again, you only actually need three subtones to make that clear-cut separation, because you make a clear-cut separation of the identity which in the first day you have seen and separate it from all the other so-called identities which are actually counterfeits. So the whole second day is just showing that you separate the counterfeits from the facts, and in order to see the counterfeit, you only really need spirit as mind, spirit spirit and spirit the soul, because soul defines it.